Chapter 3. All you think of lately is getting underneath me. The raiders have set up headquarters on the Jemchujina, a massive container ship the size of a small city, floating above the rising waters of the Black Sea. Ilya crosses the suspension bridge that anchors the ship to the coast, through wisps of cloud that leave water vapor clinging to his skin. He shivers at the chill, the insubstantial, clammy touch that lingers on the back of his neck under his high collar. It reminds him of Hollander, as everything seems to lately. Hollander, soaked to the skin from a decontamination shower, hands cool and damp as Ilya set about warming him up. The way Hollander had shuddered as they explored each other, responsive to every touch. Hollander had met Ilya's desire with unrestrained hunger, like he'd been starving and Ilya was a feast. He'd been embarrassed about it afterward, charmingly squeamish about smeared lubricant and wires tangled all around him in the aftermath of sex. Ilya shouldn't be thinking of that now, Ether reports to the corrugated metal container that serves as the colonel's office. There's flirting with danger, and then there's outright suicide. Ilya needs to keep his head in the game. You failed. It's a dispassionate greeting. The colonel barely looks at him when Ilya slips inside the door. The tone declares the colonel disappointed, but not surprised. Ilya knows better than to reply. He stands to attention in front of the colonel's desk, waiting for orders. The colonel ignores him while he finishes keying something into a tablet. Then he stands and activates a holographic projection that fills the center of the room. Ilya has studied it for so long, he sees the shape of it in his dreams. It's a sand table, a battle map. It's all of time, charted across every known strand in existence. Your last mission should have secured this strand for the foreseeable future. Now we are going to lose it, and all of these threats besides. Not only my mission, Ilya can't help saying it, even knowing it won't make any difference. The colonel's eyes focus on him, cold and piercing. You are the vanguard. Our site's success depends on you. When you fail, you take the others down with you. Yes, sir. The colonel turns back to the sand table. His lip curls. I thought this one might give you trouble, but you didn't even make it that far. Ilya pulls his attention from the colonel with effort, following his gaze past the frayed threads that mark Ilya's disastrous last mission. Behind them, Ilya sees the tidy, closely plotted strands of a fishtail braid running backwards up the timeline. It's Hollander's work. Ilya knows it with one glance. The structure is too orderly, everything laid out according to plan. There are redundancy loops and opposing threads twisted together for stability. It's precise, complex, beautiful to witness. It will be a fucking nightmare for Ilya to pick apart. If this one is a problem for you, the colonel begins. He doesn't need to finish. Ilya knows his line. It is not a problem. It will be a challenge to counter the voyageurs' efforts, but not impossible. If there's one thing Ilya knows how to unravel, it's Hollander. The colonel nods. You leave immediately. We'll prepare for a strategic withdrawal and establish a new command center elsewhere. Ilya tries to hide his surprise. You expect an invasion? The voyageurs know we are here now. They would be foolish not to interfere. The colonel smiles. It's a wolfish thing, sitting uncomfortably against the frown lines of his face. Besides, we're counting on it. Ilya searches his face for some hint of what he's thinking. You want the voyageurs to take Sochi? It's not ideal, but it's inevitable. When they come, we'll be ready for them. The colonel returns to his desk. Ilya follows after him, interest piqued. He sees very little of the big picture, the military decisions made by men and women, but mostly men, with medals and powerful friends. The colonel produces a glass vial from a drawer and sets it on the desk. After a moment, Ilya holds it up to the light. There's a fragment of wood inside, half eaten by rot. Patches of green-black decay have spread over the surface of the wood, smudging the insides of the glass. Ilya looks back at the colonel. A biological weapon? Better than that. The colonel takes the vial back from Ilya and looks at it with pride, like a favored child. A distinctive contagion. The strand will be infested with the stuff. When the voyageurs arrive in force, their agents will pick it up and will be able to track them wherever they go. Ilya's chest squeezes. This will give them an edge, one they can use to win the war. He shouldn't be thinking about Hollander's honest, trusting face, or the fact that this contagion will undoubtedly spread among the raiders as well. Both of them could carry invisible spores that might give them away and seal their doom. Ilya keeps his voice bland. It's dangerous. We can neutralize it if it becomes a problem for any of our people. The colonel puts the vial back inside the desk. Ilya can't take his eyes from it until the drawer slides shut. When he looks up, the colonel is frowning at him. When are you leaving for Regina? Ilya goes still. That mission was abandoned, he says carefully. He remembers the isolation, the endless ice, the groan of a calving glacier. Hollander in the bright wintry sunlight, waving. The colonel pauses. For a moment, he looks confused. Then his expression goes blank again, and he sits behind his desk, resuming control. You have another? This isn't the first time Ilya has seen a continuity lapse. It happens rarely, as far as he knows. Moments of disorientation between strands and times. The colonel has spent his entire life fighting this war. It's not shocking that his mind sometimes loses track of the threads. It might be the first time, however, with a bioweapon stored in a glass vial and an entire strand's timeline hanging in the balance, that Ilya has felt a deep, unsettling disquiet after seeing it. The fishtail braid, he answers. One of the 1600s. Yes, the colonel agrees. Ilya can't tell if he's remembered or simply latched onto what Ilya said. Try to do better. Ilya crosses the sky bridge again when he leaves. It might be the last time he does. He wants to look down one more time, into the sparkling turquoise sea. In the citrus grove on the far side, he finds a message from Hollander. It's embedded in concentric tree rings, a single branch grafted onto a sturdy trunk. Ilya snaps it off and pockets it without reading. The smell of oranges stays with him for days.
Lily, are you okay?
You're probably getting tired of me asking that. I thought I'd hear from you by now. I hope you got my messages. I hope you're all right. There are so many quotes about lilies, did you know? I looked some up, but I don't know, I'm not as poetic as you are. Maybe I'm just running out of things to say. I guess I'll see you around sometime. Jane. Shane stands under the shade of an awning and watches a mushroom cloud bloom in the distance. The instruments running evaluations and simulation projections light up next to him with another stream of data. The strand is on course to self-destruct within the next century. Management would prefer the future be nudged in a slightly different direction. Strategic potential was the official verdict. The raiders haven't shown any interest in interfering, which is good news for Shane's mission. There's no reason for him to be disappointed. His instrument spit out a new set of numbers, a familiar warning since Shane arrived in the valley. Seismic activity, foreshock predictions, strain energy. The Frenchman mountain fault is being pushed to its limit by this timeline's accelerated nuclear testing. Unstable ground, the monitor reads. That feels familiar too. He hasn't heard from Rosanoff since the biosphere in Montreal. Not that he has any reason to. He just expected something. More than this cold shoulder silent treatment. A second warning flashes on the screen. But this one isn't about tectonic movement. Temporal displacement. Shane collapses his instruments into their carry case, rolls up the awning, and stows everything in his trailer. It's a drill he could probably run in his sleep. At the first sign of enemy engagement, Shane will take his gear and evacuate. He wonders briefly if it's Hunter. They haven't met directly, but Hunter had left a message for him up thread, so Shane knows he's been around. He doesn't let himself hope for anyone else. That's what he tells himself, anyway. Until he recognizes his visitor. Rozanov wears pleated shorts and aviator shades, a cheerful scarf tied under the open collar of a salmon pink shirt. He should look ridiculous. Shane shouldn't see the sweat collecting at his throat and think about biting him. Rozanov slides the aviators down the end of his nose to look at Shane's travel trailer.
Wow, nice place.
Shut up, it's a Shasta.
Shane is aware that it looks like a canned ham in an eye-watering shade of blue. But it's appropriate for the time and place. Vintage. Shane is blending in. Rozanov looks over his shoulder toward the dissipating mushroom cloud. The smoke is drifting their way on the wind. Shane is already grimacing at the thought of the radiation treatment he'll have to run afterward.
I see your side has resorted to blowing things up in the middle of nowhere.
Shane might have tried teasing back once, but that was 6 months of radio silence ago. I'm not giving you operational details. Rozanov walks forward, past polite distance and well into Shane's personal space. How he manages to loom over Shane when they're essentially the same heights is a mystery.
I think I could convince you.
Shane's mask of stoic indifference snaps like a rubber band.
Fuck you! I'm not giving you shit!
No. Rozanov steps even closer. Shane refuses to back down, which leaves them standing nose to nose. He can smell fresh sweat and the sharp green apple scent of pomade.
This is not what you want.
Rozanov leans in slowly, telegraphing the movement. His lips brush the shell of Shane's ear, then the hinge of his jaw, trailing down Shane's throat.
God help him, Shane doesn't move away.
Not in the open,
he grits out, when Rozanov's hands land on his hips. The last thing he needs to deal with is this strand's version of a lavender scare. Rozanov smirks at him when Shane wrenches the trailer door open and backs inside. It's a tight fit for one grown man, let alone two. Rozanov is nearly on top of him just by climbing through the door.
It's like a nest, Rozanov comments, settling over him. Bird's nest of tiny pillows.
Shut up,
Shane says again. And then Rozanov's mouth picks up where it left off, and Shane stops talking. They both get their shirts off, yanking at each other's belts.
You will let me fuck you this time? Rozanov asks.
He sticks his hand down Shane's pants to strengthen his case. Shane has to admit it's a pretty good argument. He tips his head back and squeezes his eyes shut.
Yeah. First time, yes? You think you can take my whole cock?
Shane has experimented on his own. He isn't going to say practiced, even though that's what it had been. Teaching himself how to relax and open up, learning how to take it. He'd gauged the size of the probe from the memory of Rozanov's stick in his mouth. He's not telling Rozanov any of that.
I think I know my body. I should get to know it better then.
Rozanov's mouth opens over Shane's pack, teeth grazing his skin, before he pulls his hand out of Shane's pants and slaps the side of his ass.
Take all these off.
Shane rolls onto his knees, prompted by Rozanov's hands on his hips. He hunches over, embarrassed by how exposed he feels in this position, thinking about the view Rozanov must have. Rozanov plants a hand between his shoulder blades and presses down, until Shane's elbows buckle and his cheek presses against the scratchy polyester pillows, his spine arched wanton and inviting. The back of his neck burns. The tip of a probe wraps against his rim. Shane clenches instinctively against it before he forces himself to relax.
Have you done these before?
Rozanov teases him with the length of it, lubricant squeezing from the tip to trickle along his crease.
You know what comes next?
Shane buries his face in the pillows to muffle his words.
Just do it.
The probe Shane uses on himself is a tight, insertable spiral. It unfurls like a fiddle fern inside him, dripping slick sap as it opens and swells,
expanding until the fullness becomes too much and Chain jerks off frantically, spilling over his fist. This one is a knobbly flexible cylinder. Chain has to fight not to squirm as it slides in, deeper than he'd expected. Rozanov taps the base, and Chain jolts forward slightly, startled by the sensation and the squirt of lubricant. The probe expands in slow increments, an increased pressure that never tips over into pain. Chain breathes through it, shuddering as its girth swells and stretches him open. By the time it starts to feel like too much, testing his resistance, Chain is panting open-mouthed and through the pile of pillows. Rozanov's big hands knead his ass, spreading his cheeks and squeezing. Still good. Chain must manage a coherent reply, because the probe expands one last time, wide enough to tear a groan from his throat, and then deflates. Chain clenches when it withdraws, already missing the fullness. Then Rozanov shifts behind him and eases forward into the empty space. The stretch is familiar, the way his body adjusts to accommodate an intrusion. But he isn't prepared for the additional sensory input. He hasn't experienced the friction of a thrust, the drag of Rozanov's cock inside him. He hasn't fallen into a rhythm with someone like this, felt the heat of another body against the backs of his thighs. He hasn't heard the slap of skin as they pick up the pace, or the grunts and gasps that filter through the blood roaring in his ears. Chain doesn't realize he's going to come until his rhythm breaks and he seizes up, riding the waves of an orgasm that seems endless. He's still floating on aftershocks when Rozanov swears, grips his hips tighter, and spurts inside him. They both pause to catch their breath, and gradually the rest of the world filters back in. Rozanov is careful when he pulls out, but the gaping emptiness is still an uncomfortable feeling. Rozanov cleans him up with soft fabric, swabbing gently over his dick and ass. Chain hopes it's a scarf Rozanov was wearing earlier, and not one of Chain's few clean shirts. He rolls himself over with effort, aching and boneless. Rozanov smirks down at him. The ground trembles. Rozanov tenses, hand dropping to his side for a weapon that isn't there.
Seismic activity, Chain tells him. This is one of the most unstable regions on the continent.
Rozanov relaxes again and reaches for his clothes.
Sounds like a bad place to stick around.
Even fucked out and unguarded, Chain isn't going to talk to Rozanov about an active mission. He watches the muscles flex as Rozanov pulls his shirt over his head. Chain hadn't gotten his hands into Rozanov's hair. It still pomaded into perfect curls. The sweat is already drying on his skin. When he slips out the door a few minutes later, there's no evidence he'd been with Chain at all.
Unstable ground, Chain thinks.
The smoke from the explosion has finally reached the trailer. Chain can taste it on the back of his tongue. There is nothing else lingering there to drive it away.
Jane, I found your rose. You could have warned me about the thorns, but it probably wouldn't have stopped me. I'm reckless when it comes to you. I've never had a memory embed itself in my skin. I didn't know what I was seeing until I heard your voice and recognized your hands. I hope you know how hard it was, watching and not being able to touch. I think I like it better when I can react, when you respond to me. I'm not complaining, though. Having your memory is better than not having any of you. It's still strange, watching it play out. Knowing this is something that's already happened, and it can't be changed. Wanting to answer you when you talk to me, to replace your hands with mine, to see the way you flush when I whisper in your ear. Passively watching a timeline unfold isn't how I experience history. See you soon, Lily.